Thank you guys so much for being here. Again, if you're a new first-time visitor, thank you so much for being here. If you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, we're going to start with verse 1 and go through verse 5. We've been, for now 5 or 6 weeks, we've been going through a whole new series called Vital Signs of a Healthy Church. This whole year, from January all the way leading up to this very moment, we've been talking about what the fruit of the Spirit looks like. We've been talking about what love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, what all of those things look like, and that all of those things are in operation here and now, right? They're in operation, not floating around on pixie dust. They're in operation in each and every one of you if you are called a born-again child of God. And so we've been going through that. We've been talking about what evangelism looks like. Every time that we talk about evangelism in the church, people's hands start to get clammy, right? We start getting sweaty. Are you kidding me? I'm not going out on the street. I can't talk about Jesus. I can barely even order my lunch at McDonald's. You know, I can't do this. And so evangelism is like this taboo subject that nobody wants to talk about. But the thing is that God has called all of us to be evangelists. He has called us to tell the greatest story that has ever been told. And that is what Jesus has done in your life. Did you know that nobody can tell your story like you? Nobody. Nobody can tell it with such passion. Nobody can tell it with such detail to make you truly believe it and make you feel like you are there. And so that's why it's important that we all see ourselves not just as believers, but as evangelists as well. Because we're going forth and telling simply what Jesus has done in our lives. Now, God has not called all of us to be apologists. He's not called all of us to be scribes or to be philosophers or to be, these professors in Bible school and all these different things, or pastors. A lot of you, if I asked you to preach a sermon up here, you would absolutely never come to New Freedom again. You know? And that's okay. That's okay. We should never envy one another's gifts, because each of us is uniquely designed a specific way to accomplish a specific goal, and that is to touch people all around us. Right? This country has had enough Bible thumping. Can I get an amen this morning? It's time that this country, oh, let's back it up. It's time that our family, our city, see what is genuine, what is true, what is real, what is tangible. And that is a life changed by what Jesus has done. You don't need a biblical certificate on your wall like I do in my office. You don't need that. All you need to have is a changed heart and a willingness to obey. Amen? The Bible says, as you have opportunity, do good unto all men, especially those who are in the faith. So what's the key there? As you have opportunity. You don't go out guns blazing, right? Taking a fire hose to everybody with the gospel? No, that's not what we're supposed to do. As we have opportunity. And the key is, we need to look for that opportunity. Right? We need to look for that opportunity. And so we've been talking about evangelists. And then we've been talking about, for the last 5 weeks, the vital signs of a healthy church. What does a healthy church look like? How does it function? What is its DNA? What is it made of? And why do we need to be a part of it? So, everybody at Galatians chapter 6, I'm going to pray and then we're going to get into this. Father in heaven, I thank you so much for the opportunity to preach your truth here today. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint me, that you would fill my mouth. Lord, let whatever is in my heart come out of my mouth. Lord, that it may be a blessing to the people here today. And I pray, Father, that each and every person here today would hear your word and respond to your word. God, may we forever be changed by the truths of your word. God, help us to be obedient and help us to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we continue this series, we've learned these things, okay? We've learned that since each of us are valuable pieces of God's puzzle, and every one of you guys, if you're new, you didn't get one, but had one of these puzzle pieces. And I taped about six or seven of these together to let you know that each and every one of you are uniquely designed. Poke your neighbor and say, you are uniquely designed. You do not need to change. God has uniquely curved you and fashioned you into the piece that you are today. Now, maybe do we need some tweaking? Maybe, yes. Right? We all need to self-eval. All of us need to evaluate where we are with Christ, where our attitude is, right? We need to do that. Where our heart is, what our mind is thinking upon. But our DNA does not change. He has made us and created us, uniquely designed us to fit together. A puzzle piece was not made to be its own piece by itself. A puzzle is uniquely designed and split up into hundreds of different pieces so that it would be fit together perfectly to form a beautiful picture of only the Creator can create. And today God has created a beautiful body called the church, and more specifically the local church, New Freedom Church, to do a specific thing and to be about a specific thing in order that it would bring glory to God and life to everyone in the community that will listen. And that specific thing has been written out for you on these banners. They're not just for show. They're not just for decoration. These are what we operate in. This is who we are. This is what we are made up to be. This is our puzzle piece. And each and every one of you fit into that puzzle piece uniquely, because each and every one of you come to this place with a unique story, with a unique makeup, with a unique design, with a unique set of skills, in order that you would not bring glory to yourself, but glorify the God and bring health to the church, what makes up a vital sign, a healthy vital sign of the church. So we learned about that you are uniquely designed as God's puzzle piece. We are called to care for one another. That's a novelty. In today's modern church, we are herded in, and then we're herded out. We're herded in and we're herded out. Now, we're going to two services. I had someone ask me, and I appreciate this. I believe it was Lystra. She asked me this question. She came to my house and said, Pastor, can I talk to you? And she said, what is the goal of two services? I love it when people ask questions. I said, none of your business. I love you. I'm kidding. I said, I'm glad you asked that. Let me explain why we are doing this. She said, is that your goal, to get to two services? And my answer to that is absolutely not. To be frankly honest with you, two services is not something that I am exactly thrilled about or happy about. But we have limited space in here. And as you can tell, we're almost 100% full in this place. And so I want to make room because I believe that we have something that other people need to experience. How many of you are with me today? We have something here at New Freedom Church that other people need to experience. And it's not Pastor Jimmy's sermons. It's not Dana's singing. It's not the fellowship or any other than that. We respect and set on high the Word of God. And we preach it unashamedly. And we share our lives with one another. And that we have a mission and we have a goal, and that goal is to love people. It's to pray for our community. It's to worship God like nobody else is looking in the room. It's about evangelism and making our story heard and what Christ has done for us. It's about discipling one another and building one another up and spurring one another on so that we can build each other up in the faith. That's what we are about. There'll be another banner coming soon, and that banner is about church planting. At about spreading the good news in other communities. bringing church planters up on this platform, blessing them, equipping them, and sending them out. So that's why we're having two services, so that we can be a blessing to one another, so that it's not two churches, it's one church. Everybody say one church with two services. Now you may ask the question, am I designated to that one service and that one service only? The answer to that is no. Come to whatever service you want. Come to the second service. I think I preach it better then. All right? But here's the thing. I need your help and saying, listen, I'm excited about what God's doing at my church, and I want you to come with me. This coming Sunday, a week from today, we're having National Back to Church Sunday. Do you have that video? I want to show this video before I get right into this. And really what this is, it's about bringing everybody in so that they can see and hear the Word of God and experience passionate worship. How many of you guys love the worship in New Freedom Church? Man, I love it. Dana and the worship team, they do such an amazing job. They really make you feel God's presence. And then the Word of God being preached. And so this coming Sunday, I'm going to be preaching an evangelistic message about what Jesus came to earth to do. And that's to seek and to save that which is lost. It's all about the lost. Next Sunday. So I want to encourage you to bring somebody with you to church. And here's this video just to reinforce that idea. National Back to Church Sunday. This coming Sunday, got the banners up. I want to encourage you just to be inviting people to come so that they can experience Jesus. Not good preaching, not wonderful singing, not good fellowship, but so that they can experience Jesus. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. So I want to encourage you to do that this coming Sunday, and I'm going to be speaking simply on what Christ has done for us, all right? So since the series, we've learned the value of our puzzle pieces. We are called to care for one another. We've learned to be united with one another. We've learned to love one another and to accept one another. And today our focus is on how we can carry one another's burdens. If you would, again, just turn with me to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. If you don't have it, it's up on the board. It says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Now, there's a difference in pointing out flaws and carrying one another's burdens. Today, I want to talk to you about restoring one another. And there's a difference between pointing out flaws and carrying one another's burdens. Carrying one another's burdens means you care about that person. Pointing out flaws mean you just want to prove a point. That's what pointing out flaws accomplishes. Before we tackle the text, though, let's back up to Galatians chapter 5 and get the context. And verse 25 of Galatians 5 provides the key to Christian life, and it's simply this. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. As we march along like soldiers, we do so in unison, realizing that we either make it together or we do not make it at all. Now, the reason why I say as we march along like soldiers in unison is because that's what armies do. Units do not have their own agenda. They have one agenda, and it comes down. It comes from the president. It comes from the generals on the battlefield. They give the officers their orders, and the officers carry out their orders. Now, if this was a unit over here, and this a unit, and this a unit, and this one a unit, and we had officers over these four units, And I tell the officers what they need to do during the battle. And all of a sudden, Pastor Gerald over here is in charge of this unit. Or Pastor Johnny's in charge of this unit. All of a sudden, he gets his orders, but he says, you know what? I don't really want to do that. I want to hold back. I want to wait back because I don't want any of my people to be discouraged. And Pastor Gerald decided that, you know what? I'm not going to listen to Pastor Jimmy either because I want to charge ahead. Or this over here, this unit's like, you know what? I think I want to flank them from the left because I don't think Pastor Jimmy sees that, so I'm going to do that anyway. And this one over here is like, you know what? I'm thinking that we're just not going to be a part of it at all. That is not unity. That's disunity. And the enemy will see that and take advantage of it because we're fractured in four areas. We're not marching as one. We're marching as separate entities. Our puzzle pieces are not put together. But if we're operating in unison, if we're getting our orders from the Lord that is sent down and that I receive it and I give it out to the generals and then we start accomplishing this thing together now's the time, National Back to Church Sunday and inviting people to come to church or the two services and so forth and we're all on the same page and we're like, yes, Pastor, we're going ahead. This is what you asked us to do and we're going to do it. You've asked us to do this and we're doing it. And even though that we're different and separate, we're operating as one. And the second reason I use that analogy as soldiers in unison is because if 50,000 soldiers are marching at the same time and their feet are hitting the ground at the same time, it sends a large message to the enemy. It begins to shake the very ground and puts the enemy on notice. That ground that they had taken, we are taking back. Because that's what armies do. They don't have their own agenda. They work together in unison. And the way we restore one another is by working together. So now, here's this thing. I believe God has given us four responsibilities in the passage that we just read in Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Number one, we are to restore the broken. Look at verse 1. Paul says this, he wrote this letter to the Galatian church. He said, brothers, if any one of you is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves or you also may be tempted. Now notice Paul referred to the readers as brothers. He's saying that we all belong to the same family. He didn't say, you all knuckleheads over in Galatia, stop it. He's not saying, hey, that church over there that I don't know your names, stop it. He is specifically calling those men and women brothers and sisters, indicating that we are all a family, that we are all one together. Paul says, you who are spiritual, who is he talking about? You who are spiritual. He's not talking about some mystical spiritual person like Gandalf. How many of you guys? I lost about half of you. Gandalf, Lord of the Rings, come on. All right. We're not talking about some mystical person that has a funny hat, that has a weird staff, and that twinkles his nose and you know, fireworks go off or whatever. We're not talking about that mystical spiritual person. That's not what Paul's talking about. He is talking about normal spirit-filled believers like you and like me. Nudge your neighbor and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. You don't have to be a super saint to help others. You don't have to have it all together. Spiritual people, listen to this, spiritual people or ordinary people relying on a supernatural God. That's it. We are to restore one another. Paul said, you who are spiritual. He's talking about you and I. He's not talking about people that have an agenda to point out flaws. He's not talking about people that have an agenda that just simply wants to prove a point. He's talking about us, spiritual people, those that are born again, those that have the Spirit of God living, moving, active in their heart. That's who he's talking about. How are we to restore the broken? Not with a judgmental spirit, not with a hardened heart, but with gentleness and humility. Broken believers need spiritual believers who will come alongside them in order to mend them and make them whole again. That's our job. Jesus gave us the spirit of reconciliation. He did that because he knew that there'd be quarrels in the church. He knew that because we're dealing with different puzzle pieces here. And sometimes we have our own agendas. Sometimes we're not perfect. Well, let's just face it, we're never perfect. But sometimes we can be selfish, can't we? Sometimes we can't see past our own noses. Sometimes we can't see past our own hurt. Sometimes we can't see past our own agenda. We can't see past our own voice and wanting it get heard, right? But it's important that we understand that we are to restore one another with gentleness, with humility. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. He said, gently instruct in hope that God would grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of the truth. So here's the problem. There are times when I want to restore someone, but I end up being more judgmental than gentle. Our default setting is to get angry and judgmental with those who sin. Now listen to me, this is going to mess some of you up. Listen to me this morning. Our default setting is to get angry and judgmental with those who sin differently than we do. What do we do right there? In other words, we compare our sin. Let that sink in for a minute. We compare our sin. We look and we make ourselves judge and jury, and we say, your sin is way worse than what I'm doing. You need to cut that out. But here's the thing. Sin is sin. What does sin do? It separates us from God. So if you sinned by gossiping, that is a separation. If you sinned by committing adultery, that is a separation. If you have sinned and you go down the list of all the sins, all those different things, it is a separation. It is a severing. There is your sin is no greater than that person's sin. But we get angry, we get judgmental with those who sin differently than we do. So the goal of restoration is to recover, not search and destroy. Let me illustrate this. Several years ago, there was a crazy man who rushed through a museum in Amsterdam. And he repeatedly slashed one of Rembrandt's most famous paintings. I looked it up online over and I didn't think it was appropriate to show at church, but it was over and over again slashed, straight, not on the corners, straight through the paintings, over and over again. There was 8 or 9 lashes in that painting, and it wasn't small little cuts. It was almost the whole entirety of the painting. A short time later, another man slipped into St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome with a hammer and began to smash a Michelangelo's masterpiece. These are cherished works of art that cannot be replaced. They were badly damaged. What do you think they did to them? Do you think that they discarded them? No. What they did is they found the most skilled people in restoring paintings, the most skilled people in the world, and restoring sculptures, stone sculptures, and they put them to work to gently put those paintings back together again and to restore that sculpture back together again. And I saw online where it had the painting that was slashed and the sculpture that had been badly damaged by this crazy man with a hammer. And then you see side by side the restored pictures. And you can't even tell that they were ever damaged. And that is a beautiful picture of what Jesus has done for us. This world has scarred us. We, by our own hands, have scarred ourselves, not on the peripheral of our lives, but right down through the heart of who we are. Most of us in this room have somehow or another damaged ourselves by our own actions and choices that we have made. A lot of us, too, have been damaged by other people and what they have said, by no fault of our own. And we couldn't do anything about it. And all of a sudden, this skilled Son of God, this skilled Lamb of God, comes to earth and He applies His beloved blood to our slashed lives, to our beaten lives, and He healed us to where our lives didn't resemble any longer those slashings. Jesus said He came to make all things new. Not to repair, not to mend, not to tape together, not to MacGyver it, but to make all things new. That's our jobs as believers, is to repair, is to restore, not search and destroy. So our first attitude, our first responsibility is to restore the broken. Number two, our second responsibility is to relieve the burdened. Look at verse 2. Verse 2 of Galatians says this: carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. The word carry means to lift or remove a heavy, heavy load, like sickness, personal loss, grieving over the death of a loved one. Maybe it's you're going through financial struggles. Maybe your marriage is on the rocks. Maybe your career is coming to an end. Maybe you're empty nesters. Maybe whatever the circumstances may be, and you're broken, you're hurting, you're going through a shaky part in your life, you do not have to carry that burden by yourself. You know why? Because you belong to the body of Christ. And in that, Paul calls you brothers and sisters. We are the family of God. You no longer have to bear your own burdens. You no longer have to carry this weight any longer. You have brothers and sisters of God in this church who will come alongside you and help carry that, not carry it for you. I'm not made to carry anybody else's burdens. Jesus said, cast all of your burdens on me because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He is the only one we can cast those on, but we sure can lean upon one another. You sure can come up to me and go, Jimmy, how did you, man, I know you lost your dad like, 5 years ago, coming up in November 7th, and I just lost my, lost my dad or whatever, and how did you get through that? Man, come on for coffee. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about it. Man, I'm going through some financial difficulties. Pastor Gerald, how did you establish good financial thinking in your home? How did that happen? Or I'm thinking about going to a foreign land, and I'm thinking about going on the mission field, and how Sarah, what was your experience like when you were in school? And again, I'm slipping my mind. Argentina, what was that experience like? I'm about to start a business and I'm scared. How does that look like? Well, I don't know. Talk to Jeff. I don't know. Talk to Rob. He owns a business. I don't know. Talk to Green Bay over here that has all the landscapes and so forth. The Green Bay Nursery. Talk to him. Talk to Cleaning Together over there. Talk to them. We all have something to contribute as the body of Christ. Amen. So our second responsibility is to relieve the burdens, not carry it by ourselves. Now, notice this as well. The cool thing about this piece of scripture, and let me read it again. It says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So the cool thing about this piece of scripture is Paul doesn't focus in on what the burden is or where it came from. He doesn't care. You know why? Because a burden is a burden is a burden is a burden. What a burden is to you is not to me. What my burden is, maybe not for you. And the reason why is because you've went through it and it's no longer a burden to you. And I need to talk to you. I need to know how you did that. Well, why would you ask me that question? I'm still messed up. I'm still flawed. I'm still trying to get my stuff together. I'm still trying to figure out what the proper way of worshiping God is. I'm still trying to figure out where Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John is in the Bible. Why are you asking me this? Because you went through it and you trusted God and God led you out of it. And I just simply want you to tell me how you did it. That's all. Because your story is unique. Your story is valuable. Your story, your puzzle piece, I need to know about. Amen? The third responsibility is to repent of bragging. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says this, if any one of you thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his, this is going to set some people free this morning. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself with anybody else. That is a powerful, powerful piece of scripture. It says that if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. It's so easy to look down our noses and say things like this. They deserve that. She's so weak. He can't handle the pressure. I saw this coming. You should have saw this coming. Maybe they will listen to me next time. I'm glad it's them and not me. I know I would never do that. Don't ever say that. Gosh, I had to repent about 100 times while I wrote this sermon. I know I would never do that. That one stuck to me. Oh my gosh. Lord, forgive me. Forgive us for being judgmental when we should be gentle with one another. How quick we are to condemn and to look the other way as we pass by on the other side. We read about the Good Samaritan, right? Read about how the priest, they saw this man beaten with an inch of his life, laying in a ditch. We read that story and we're like, gosh, how in the world could these religious people, this priest looked at this guy, saw he was on the same side of the road, and chose to go on this side just to avoid him. And another religious leader came, saw the same thing, walked on the other side. But this Samaritan came by, didn't look down at him and go, you deserve that. You shouldn't have been out here by yourself. What are you thinking? I'm glad it's not me. And then walk on. But what do we do with each other? We do the same thing. We don't mean to. We don't mean to do it. We don't mean to be judgmental. That is our selfish nature. That is us trying to beat this flesh in control. Right? We need one another. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 tells us to test our own actions by examining our own behavior. When's the last time you looked at your behavior? When's the last time you looked deep into yourself and asked yourself the question, why am I this way? Why am I circling this same mountain over and over again? Why do I do that? The reason why we don't do that is because we love blaming other people. We love blaming circumstances rather than looking intently into our own heart so that we can see what we need to get rid of. That is that self-evaluation. Verse 4 tells us, test our own actions by examining our own behaviors. There was a frail old man that had to move in with his son, his daughter-in-law, and his four-year-old grandson. And they were nice enough to let him come and live in their home. And if you guys have four-year-olds, you know that your home is never peaceful. There's always running around. There's always something to do. Always something spilled. There's always something on the ground. Cheerios, Legos, everywhere, you know. And so, but this frail old man came to live with his son, his son's wife, and his grandson. And his eyesight wasn't good. His hands were shaky all the time. He was very slow in walking. Every evening they ate dinner together as a family. And every evening the tension at the dinner table grew and grew because Grandpa, his hands shook. Couldn't see his plate really well. Didn't have control over his faculties like he normally did. And so peas would slip out of his spoon. He'd spill his milk on the linen. My question is, why do you have linen when you have a four-year-old? I don't get that one. And after time, a few plates were broken. A glass was busted on the ground. And so the son decides that, you know what, Dad, we're gonna put you on a little table over here in the corner by yourself so that you can eat in peace. And because of a few broken bowls and a few broken glasses, they give him a wooden bowl to eat out of. All the while, their four-year-old son sits in silence, evening after evening. One day, the father of the four-year-old's looking at his son right before dinner time, and he noticed that he's playing with some wood on the floor. And he said, "Son, what are you doing?" He said, "What are you making with that wood?" The son said, I'm making a little bowl for you, a little wooden bowl for you and Mom to eat your food out of when you grow old." Immediately, the parents were speechless and tears began to roll down their cheeks as their four-year-old son's words began to cut through their heart like a hot knife. That evening, the dad went into his father's room and he grabbed his dad by the hand and he gently led him back to the table. He knelt down on his knees and he began to weep. He dropped his face in his dad's shaking legs and lap and cried and asked his dad to forgive him. And that evening and every other evening after that, his dad was restored back to the table and they accepted his flaws and they were humble and generous and kind. They were long-suffering with him. And not one word was ever mentioned when that bowl hit the ground ever again. You see, church, that is a picture of us. That we should operate with one another in grace and love and compassion. And let me just say this. You do not have enough love. You do not have enough peace. You do not have enough grace. That's why we have to be tapped into the Lord himself. Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. Remain in me and I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing." If we find it easy to condemn, it may be because we have an inflated view of ourselves. If we were more conscious of our sins, we would be more forgiving of the weakness and failures of those around us. So I want to encourage you today to tap into the vine so that your love is not the only love you're projecting, but it's the love of the Savior that they see. Number 4, and the last responsibility is this. respect your boundaries. Look at verse 5. For each one should carry his own load. This is describing a soldier's backpack. It's something small and light enough for everyone to carry. It's the difference between a backpack and a boulder. If your burden seems light today, don't think that God intends for you to go skipping and singing along the way to heaven. Yes, rejoice. Yes, celebrate that your burden is light. Yes, celebrate that God has been good to you. But find someone that needs the help that only you can give. Your burden is light so that you can just skip along, but so that you can go alongside one another and help carry each other's burdens. Amen? Now, some of you have a tendency to take everyone's cares and concerns on your shoulders. Some of us in this room maybe has a tendency to be like a savior complex, right? We want to rush in. We want to help. We want to do what we want to do. And maybe you do this out of genuine compassion, or maybe you have a little codependency going on there. Whatever needs to happen to get that under control, we need to do. Whatever the case, carry one another's burdens. You were never designed to carry the world on your shoulders. I hope that sets some of you free this morning. You were never designed to carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. Now, the other struggle is in the opposite direction. Maybe you were burned out and frankly don't care about other people's problems. Or maybe others have burned you and you don't want to get involved again. While you are not called to carry other people's backpacks, be careful that you do not back too far away from people who are trying to help carry the load. Make sure you're not isolating yourself from one another. There's a balance that needs to take place. There's a balance that needs to take place in all of us so that we are not carrying, so I'm not carrying your burden and you're not carrying my burden, but together we're lightening the load. Together we're moving forward. Together we're marching in unison. Today we're putting the enemy on notice that the ground that he took yesterday, we're taking back today. And not only today, but we're taking up residence right where we are because we're taking back what the enemy has stolen from us. Amen? Thank God he does not push us to the corner table in the back of the room. He invites us to sit down in a relationship of restoration and communion with him right now. Would everybody stand with me as I read Lamentations 5:21? It says this. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. My question to you today, do you need to come to the Lord for the first time? Or do you need to come to the Lord for the 100th time? Whatever the reason, whatever you're dealing with, know this, that His grace is sufficient for you. What does that mean? It means that His grace never runs out. You never deplete the grace of God. Now, we are not to use the grace of God as a license to sin. But when we're struggling forward, when we're trying to serve the Lord the best we can, know this, there's going to be pebbles in the road. There's going to be obstacles. People may get in your way. You may make mistakes. You may say things you don't mean to say. You may circle that mountain 100 times. Know that His grace is sufficient along the journey. Know that He demonstrated His love toward you, and yet that while you were yet a sinner, He still died for you. He still loved you when you didn't love Him. He still cared for you when you didn't care for Him. He still valued you when you did not value Him. Jesus in the garden, He said, Lord, if it's your will that this cup pass from me, then let it be done. But nonetheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And he went dutifully, joyfully to the cross for you and I. Never let that get old in your spirit. That his blood, his sacrifice, his broken body gave us a way to the Father so that we no longer need a priest any longer. We no longer need to slaughter animals any longer. We can come into the Holy of Holies, broken, jaded, misunderstood, angry, defeated, demoralized, humiliated, and his grace is still sufficient. His grace is still sufficient. Today we focus upon this, restoring one another. But before you attempt that, would you test your own actions? Would you check your own motives? Would you look deep into your own heart and take an intimate, intimate view of your motives? Ask as the psalmist did, search me, O God. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. He said, search me, try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. I'm going to tell you, that is a prayer that will change your life. Would you bow your heads with me today? Today, if you don't know Christ, I ask you boldly and unashamedly that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask you today to accept him as your Savior. Not just a pretty little prayer that you accept Jesus into your heart, but that you accept Jesus into your jaded heart, into your brokenness, into your anger, into your misunderstanding, into your hurts. And may he come alongside you and bring healing to you. But he can't do that until you ask him to do that. That's why we have to confess with our mouth. That's why we have to believe with our heart. And when we do that, Scripture promises that the Lord will renew us. He will make us new. Today, I want to encourage you to respond to the message that I preach today. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, would you raise your hand and say, Pastor, I want to receive Christ today. I don't want to waste another day. Today, I want to receive him as my Lord and as my Savior. If that's you, would you put your hand up, put it back down so I can see it? Amen. If you say, Pastor, I have received the Lord 100 times. And then after that, I just stopped counting. Pastor, I need to take an intimate, long look into my heart because I think I have tried to make my own vine. And I need my attitude put back into place. I need my heart restored. I've been hurt, and I need to be restored. I'm tired of walking in that brokenness. I'm tired of walking around that mountain again. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Amen. Jesus promised this. He promised that if you would cast all of your burdens on him, he would take those burdens from you. He said, my burden is easy and light. So this morning, I want to pray over you. I want to ask the Lord to remove that burden. And if you're part of New Freedom Church, if you're just here for the first time and you're checking this place out, get connected. Get connected immediately so that you can have others come alongside you. And not only that, you can come along others' side as well to be a blessing to one another. Let's pray. As I'm praying, I want you to pray over yourself. Ask the Lord to remove those burdens, that heavy weight, that boulder. If he needs to change your attitude, allow him to do that. If you've been dealing with people
judgmentally rather than gently. Now is the time to repent as well. Repentance is a good place, church. It's a good place. It means that we have humbled ourselves and admitted our guilt. We're ready to be forgiven and move on. And so, Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning and I pray over that one that asked to invite you into their life, into their mess, into their sin. I pray right now in Jesus' name that they repent of their sins, that they accept you as Lord and Savior into their attitude, into their speech, into their brokenness, into their decision-making, into the way they work on their job, into their heart and their spirit, into their mind. God, would you renew their minds? Would you restore unto them the joy of their salvation? Would you renew a right spirit within us today? Would you forgive us for looking down our nose? Would you forgive us from drowning in the rain because our nose is stuck up? May you teach us to deal with one another in gentleness and not judgment. May you help us, Lord, to clear our schedule. God, we're busy people. Help us, Father, to weed out the things and the busyness in our life that adds no value, adds no life, only gray hair. Lord, would you free us up? Would you bring along somebody in our path that we can help encourage, that we can help bear their burdens, so that we can be a blessing? Lord, turn us from takers to givers today. From consumers to givers today. May we dispense that grace, that which has been dispensed to us. May we operate with one another in grace and humility, because we know that it required much grace and humility to forgive us. That your patience is long with us. And so, Lord, help us to deal with one another in such a manner that it glorifies you. And Father, I pray over next Sunday's service. I pray, Father, that as each and every person in this room goes out and invites their loved ones, their co-workers, their friends, a person that they bumped into at McDonald's, I pray, Lord, that as they do that, you would be with them. And that as they come in and hear the life-giving message of Jesus Christ, Lord, may their hearts be broken for you. May they receive you as Lord and Savior. May next Sunday be a new day, a new time in their lives, so that we can be a part of someone else's faith story. So, Lord, I bless my church. I bless my brothers. I bless my sisters in Christ. God, may they go today with your blessing. May your face shine upon them. May you bless their homes. May you bless the husbands. May you cause them to lead as priests. God, I pray over the wives. I pray, Father, that you would bless them as they love their husbands, as they care for their children, as they go to work, as they work together in unison as husband and wife, as one flesh. May you restore their souls. I thank you for your blessing upon our lives. God, may it go with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we could have some prayer workers over here. If you need prayer about anything, about what was preached, about not what was preached, if you need prayer about anything, if you receive Christ today, come up and let them pray over you. If you need an attitude check, whatever it may be, come and allow them to pray over you today. All right? Listen, God bless you guys as you go. Thank you so much for being here today. You could have been anywhere else, but you chose to be here. Thank you so much. God bless you guys. We'll see you. See you next Sunday, all right? All right, you guys stick around and join one another's company. Be mindful and respectful of those that are praying. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.